The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on June 6, 1995 in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. The class begins with a reading from the Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 7, Verse 6.
Yonini Bhutani Sarvanityupadharaya Aham Krishnasya Jagataha Prabhava Pralayastata Mata Parattarang Nanyat Kinchit Asti Dananjaya Mai Sarvamidam Krotam Sutre Mani Gana Iva Eta Jyonini Bhutani Sarvanityupadharaya Aham Krishnasya Jagata Prabhava Pralayastata Mata Parattarang Nanyat Kinchit Asti Dananjaya Mai Sarvamidam Krotam Sutre Mani Gana Iva. Translation: all created beings have their source in these two natures. Of all that is material and all that is spiritual in this world, know for certain that I am both the origin and the dissolution. Purport: everything that exists is a product of matter and spirit. Spirit is the basic field of creation. And matter is created by spirit. Spirit is not created at a certain stage of material development. Rather, this material world is manifested only on the basis of spiritual energy. This material body is developed because spirit is present within matter. A child grows gradually to boyhood and then to manhood because the superior energy, spirit soul, is present. Similarly, the entire cosmic manifestation of the gigantic universe is developed because of the presence of the super soul, Vishnu. Therefore, spirit and matter, which combine to manifest this gigantic universal form, are originally two energies of the Lord, and consequently the Lord is the original cause of everything. A fragmental part and parcel of the Lord, namely the living entity, may be the cause of a big skyscraper, a big factory, even a big city, but he cannot be the cause of a big universe. The cause of the big universe is the big soul, or the super soul, and Krishna, the supreme, is the cause of both the big and small souls. Therefore, he is the original cause of all causes. This is confirmed in Katha Upanishad 2.2.13, Nityo Nityanam Chitana Chitananam. Translation: all created beings have their source in these two natures. Of all that is material and all that is spiritual in this world, know for certain that I am both the origin and the dissolution. Text 7. O conqueror of wealth, there is no truth superior to me. Everything rests upon me as pearls are strung on a thread. Purport: there is a common controversy over whether the supreme absolute truth is personal or impersonal. As far as Bhagavad Gita is concerned, the absolute truth is the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna. And this is confirmed in every step. In this verse in particular, it is stressed that the absolute truth is a person. That the personality of Godhead is the supreme absolute truth is also the affirmation of the Brahma Samhita. Iswaraha Paramaha Krishnaha Sat Chit Ananda Vigraha. That is, the Supreme Absolute Truth Personality of Godhead is Lord Krishna, who is the primeval Lord, the reservoir of all pleasure, Govinda, and the eternal form of complete bliss and knowledge. These authorities leave no doubt that the Absolute Truth is the Supreme Person, the cause of all causes. The impersonalist, however, argues on the strength of the Vedic version given in the Shweta Swatra Upanishad 3.10, Tato yat utaratharam tat arupam anayamayam ye etat vidur amritas ke bhavanti ete tare dukham evapyanti. Translation: in the material world, Brahma, the primeval living entity within the universe, is understood to be the supreme amongst the devas, human beings, and lower animals. But beyond Brahma, there is the transcendent, who has no material form and is free from all material contamination. Anyone who can know him also becomes transcendental, but those who do not know him suffer the miseries of the material world. So the impersonalist puts more stress on the word arupam. But this arupam is not impersonal. It indicates the transcendental form of eternity, bliss, and knowledge, as described in the Brahma Samhita quoted above. Other verses in the Shweta Swatara Upanishad 3:8-9 substantiate this as follows. Vedaham etam purusham mahantam aditya varnam tamasa parastat tam eva vidvanati mityumeti nanya pantha vidyate yanaya. Yasmat parang na parang asti kinchit, yasmat naniyo na jayo sti kinchit, riksha iva stabto devi tishtatyekas, tene tampurnam purushena sarvam. Translation: I know that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is transcendental to all material conceptions of darkness, only he who knows him can transcend the bonds of birth and death. There is no way for liberation other than this knowledge of that Supreme Person. There is no truth superior to that Supreme Person, because he is the supermost, he is smaller than the smallest, and he is greater than the greatest. He is situated as a silent tree, and he illuminates the transcendental sky, and as a tree spreads its roots, he spreads his extensive energies. End of quote. From these verses, one concludes that the Supreme Absolute Truth is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is all-pervading by his multi-energies, both material and spiritual. Thus, in the Bhaktivedanta Swami translation, purports to text 6 and 7 of chapter 7. Knowledge of the Absolute. A little earlier we were discussing with Hari about the he's going to make a presentation to all the high school teachers, if I'm not mistaken. Geographical presentation about Hindu Dharma and other aspects of India. So here we can see in Bhagavad Gita very clearly states that there's one source for everything. So basically, Sanatan Dharma is also monotheistic, that we believe in one supreme truth, Eko Brahma Ditya Nasti. As is mentioned in the first verse here, rather from the Saita Sutra Upanishad, that how Lord Brahma, he's the primeval living entity within the universe. From him come so many devas, humans, animals, etc. He's the supreme. Beyond him, there's a transcendence. So the fact that there are many, just like Brahma, and there are many different devas who are managing the universal affairs on behalf of the Lord. So some people consider, well, that there are so many different gods. But these are not the Supreme Lord. They are all important devotees of the Lord who have been invested with powers to do certain things in the universe. Just like, I think everyone in the whole world probably heard of President of the United States. But in India and other places, they won't know very much. I mean, the educated people would know, but just the ordinary people won't know much about Secretary of State or the attorney, you know, all the different subordinate, they may or may not know. It's not that everyone will know all the different positions. Because in India we have Prime Minister, we have other names. But President, they might know. I think that mostly people have heard probably of President. But they won't know exactly what it means to be the Secretary of State or things like that. So like that people, some people, they only know there's God. They only know there's the Supreme God. They don't know that what is all administration, how He's making everything going, how everything is functioning. But the Vedas have given a detailed description about the different devas, about their powers, about their duties, about their relationships and their glories, and how one can approach the different devas also if you want to. Just like some people, they go right to the governor of Tennessee. They may not go to the President of the United States. If they want something on the state level, they can go to the state, or they can even go to the county and head. So depending on what the level they want, they can go. So the Vedas describe all these things. But in very special places of the Vedas, it is clearly explained what is the relationship between all the different devas and the Lord. So for the people here in the West, it's good if they can understand that also Sanatan Dharma is basically monotheistic. We believe in one supreme absolute truth, or Param Brahma. And the Param Brahma, some people consider Param Brahma is the Jyoti. Some people consider the Param Brahma is Bhagawan. But in the Vedanta Sutras, commentary of Bhagavat, there it mentions Vedantita Tattvam Vidam Yas Jnanam Tattvam Adhvayam Prameti Paramatmeti Bhagavan Iti Sabhyate. The Absolute Truth is one. But the Absolute Truth is realized by different spheres of the Truth in different forms. These forms are known as Brahman, or the impersonal Jyoti, Paramatma, or the Super Soul who is present in everyone's heart, or as Bhagawan, who is the Supreme Lord Krishna Narayan in the spiritual world. There's only one Supreme Bhagawan, but He has many forms, like Govinda, Ram, Narayan, Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, Narasimha, and so on. So therefore He's known as Ananta Rupa. But there's only one Lord, but He takes different forms for His different lila. So that is the form of Bhagawan, He is Satchidananda. The Supreme Form is, the original form is Krishna. There's also explained in Bhagavad, after giving so many 24 different incarnations. Now you look in the encyclopedia and you see who is Krishna, and many times it will say Krishna is the 8th incarnation of Vishnu. Actually, there's not only 10 incarnations of Vishnu. Many Hindus are thinking there's only 10. But in the Bhagavad, it says that there are so many avatars, they're coming like waves in the ocean. How many waves are there in the ocean? Who can say? The young people are sitting in the corner. You know how many waves are coming in the ocean? So this unlimited, right? One after another they're coming. Like that, avatars are coming every yuga. There's yuga avatar, manvantar avatar, guna avatar. So many kinds of avatars are there. So in Bhagavad, this first canto, there was about 24 avatars are specifically mentioned. The most prominent 24, not 10. How did 10 avatar come? Our great Acharya Jaidev, while he was in Jagannath Puri, he wrote a beautiful song thus Avatar Stotra, which has become very popular all over India, the Jai Jagadisha Hari. So all the 10 avatars, he picked out 10 avatars, he wrote a stotra. Stotrams are very commonly written in 10 verses. So then, Krishna in that song is the 8th verse. After him came Bhuta and Kalki. So he was the 8th. So that's why they say he's the 8th incarnation of Vishnu. But the song is being sung to Jagannath, who himself is Krishna. And is saying, Jai Jagadisha Hari. You have come in the form of all the different forms. So, like that, sometimes you get the ideas that become very popular, but it's not for the very profound reason. One of our acharyas, he gave a story that sometime what happens is that things become introduced within the culture for very light reasons. For instance, sometime you move the camera and show the audience, make it interesting. So the people, when they see the playback, they can see how bright-faced and intelligent everyone is. And they'll get the feeling, you know, for the... One time there was a young girl, you know, that previously marriages were done in the olden time when they were very young. She was maybe only 12 years old. She was being married. At that time, you know, it was very late and the wedding ceremony was going on, and she, for her it was something very overwhelming. She saw that by the side of the ceremony that they came and they covered up a cat that was howling in a basket. What happened was this cat started making a lot of noise, so that her mother told the boys that you put the basket over the cat so it doesn't make any more disturbance. So she remembered that. Later she became a mother. She had her own son, everything. When it came time that her son was getting married, then she said, wait, in my family we have the tradition. At the time of marriage, you had to put a cat by the side of the homa.
Oh.
So they're looking all over the neighborhood and one cat's walking along. Good cat! They're going and grabbing and singing and putting under the basket. Luckily, this is a family tradition we have to do. So like this, sometimes things happen. We say people, it gets included, but actually it's not necessarily given in the Vedas. So that kind of thing is there. So it's a very light reason why there's 10 mentioned by Jayadev. But here in Bhagavatam it mentions, for instance, so many avatars. The Kumara, Sukara, that means Varaha, Narad, Naranarayan, Kapila, Dattatreya, Yajna, Rishabhadeva, Prithu, Matsya, Kurma, Danvantari, Mohini, Nrsimha, Vamana, Vigupati, Vyaste, Brahm, Balaram, Krishna, Bhuta, Kalki. So that's about 22. So many avatars are there, not only 10. So in this one, so Krishna comes chronologically 20th. But that's not it says, but then also says that it's not the end of it. He's saying, Avatara hi asankyeya hare sattva nidhe dvijaha yata virasina kulya sarasa syu sahasrasaha. O Brahma, the incarnations of the Lord are innumerable. Avatar hi asankyeya. Asankyeya means innumerable. Hari of the Lord, Hari, Vishnu. Like rivulets flowing from an inexhaustible source of water. Then also he says, all the rishis, manus, demigods, descendants of Manu who are especially powerful are also plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions of the Lord. This also includes the Prajapati. So apart from this, there are many other vibhutis, many great powerful entities in the universe who are also coming from the Lord and are His portion as well. Prabhupada explained, those who are comparatively less powerful are called vibhuti, and those who are comparatively more powerful are called avesha, incarnation. Then it explains, ete chansa kolapumsa krishnastu bhagavan swayam indradi vyakulam lokam mridayanti juge juge. All of the above mentioned incarnations are either plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions of the Lord. But Lord Sri Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. All of them appear on planets whenever there is a disturbance created by the atheist. The Lord incarnates to protect the theist. Just like Krishna explains in Gita, Adharma sangstapanarthaya sangbhuvami juge juge paritranaya sadhanam vinashaya chaduskita. So, in this way, we can see that how sometimes in the encyclopedia or different, you get a definition. But, of course, this is my theory, that it must be from the Dasavatar Stotram. Otherwise, I don't find anywhere that Dasavatar is mentioned. But it's become very popular, so everyone knows Dasavatar. When we do Bharatanatyam, they always show Dasavatar. And so many times we show the Dasavatar. But we shouldn't think there's only Dasavatar. Avataro asankhyeya. There's unlimited avatar. Some are more prominent, some are less prominent or well known, and it's going on from yuga to yuga. So in this way, the Lord is coming down when there's a need to establish religion in the society, to deliver His devotees. So He's coming down. And there's no limit to how many times and how many forms He can come. So we're discussing that there's a need to actually change the encyclopedias. And I saw in one encyclopedia, now they have given a different version. In addition to the traditional, they add a few new paragraphs where they're saying that some people, they worship Krishna as the original Godhead. So a little progress is there. But it's very important that we'll be able to present. I was approached in Malaysia by some of the Hindu leaders, and they're very concerned that different missionaries and different people, they were trying to tell the followers of Sanatana Dharma that you're worshipping idols and things like that, and creating some confusion. And so they wanted to know what how these things could be explained and everything. So we discussed for a long time. Also, they wanted to know what to say to people when they're on the death row and they're about to get killed by, you know, if they happen to get the death sentence. So they allow a priest or someone to go. So one of the Hindu leaders, he was sometime being asked to go and do this final prayer for the criminals, for the people who are about to take their capital punishment. So then he mentioned to me that, well, I looked at I asked the Hindu, the Christian priest, what do you tell the people when they're about to die? And he said, well, I tell them it's all right. We know you're really innocent, and before God you're innocent, and you've been misunderstood, and everything will be all right. Things like that. So I was thinking, well, just say something like that. I said, but that's not according to our Shastra. I don't know. Whether they're innocent, if they are guilty, the point the Vedas say that by going through the capital punishment, they will get free from their karma, and then they'll get placed even in heaven in Swarga. They completely get a clean slate, and because of taking that punishment. So, but more important, the people say, what should I be thinking when I'm dying? You know, I'm about to die, they're going to do whatever the system is, inject me or whatever. I went, what should I be thinking at that moment? I told them, at the time of death, they should be thinking of Narayan. They should be thinking of Krishna. This is a Narayana Anta Smriti. The time of death, they should go on chanting, give them the chant, the mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. By chanting that, you can chant very loudly, but chant, some name of Hari they should chant. If they don't want to chant Hare Krishna, some name of Hari let them chant. And at that time, if they remember the name of the Lord, then they can go back to the eternal kingdom of God, back to Vaikuntha. So thank you very much. I didn't know what to say actually in that. So there's a lot of need around the world in different parts of the world. People don't know always exactly, even our leaders, different groups, they want to know what to tell the people. And what we're trying to do is actually get the people who are following our Krishna consciousness or following the Vedas to be more united and to work together for spreading this knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because nowadays in the world this is needed more than anything. I discussed many times about this topic. People ask, how is this going to help the world today? You know, and every day we're seeing in the headlines of the newspapers about the problem in Bosnia, where they're having a fratricidal war, people that were friends together, they're killing each other, now because one is a Serb, or someone's a Muslim, or someone's a Croat. And people who are neighbors, they become enemies just because of this bodily identification. And this is a big problem. We're having Olympics in Atlanta, so everyone... But what Olympics are creating a certain gathering of all the nations, but still everyone is identifying, I'm from this nation or that nation. Then you get some nation wants to divide and suddenly they become many nations. So that's not really the secret for uniting the world. Although if I say this in Atlanta, I don't know what will happen. The mayor is giving us all nice letters. But the real need is not to really cement this national identification. In ancient times, there were nations and nations worked together as teams, but that wasn't the only in the highest understanding. The highest understanding was that we are actually the Atma, we're the spirit soul. And that was the wonderful donation of Sanatana Dharma, that all humans are of the same kind of spiritual nature. Not only all humans, but all living entities, including the animals, also have the same spiritual spark or Atma, the Jiva. In this way, we can bring this universal vision in the human society. Instead of people identifying themselves by all these different designations based on the body difference, political difference, and so on. If we can come to that level which is given in the Vedas of a true spiritual perspective, then you'll find Vasudeva Kutumbakam, the one whole world becomes one family under God. And that we need the cooperation of all the religions. All the theistic people of the world to understand there's only one God. They may approach in different ways. We recently had a meeting in Alachua and one Christian father, he came and he gave a talk. And he said that he actually had been taking some instruction and he personally chants Hare Krishna and believes that Krishna is God the Father. But he's very much devoted to Jesus as the Son of God. He remained as a Christian priest, but he chants Hare Krishna. It's a unique situation to see this. Now, he was discussing, he said in 1965, the Pope had made a declaration stating how, I don't remember all the things, but he recognized for the first time that Hindu Dharma was a way of worshipping and achieving God. And in certain words he had said. Otherwise, before this, They never given even recognition that there was such a religion as Hindu Dharma, which was a religion by which you could reach the Supreme Godhead. But the Pope did recognize that they do worship a Supreme God, and by the process of the Hindu Dharma one could achieve that. So that is like a big breakthrough. In 1965, Prabhupada also came here to the West, but he brought up the point that even most of the Christian priests, even the Catholic priests or even the other Protestant is a separate issue, but even the Catholic priests who are supposed to follow the Pope, they don't know the Pope said this. And many of them say things against the Hindu Dharma or against Sanatana Dharma inadvertently. Recently in North Carolina, one cardinal from Denver, he was saying how this is a pseudo-religion, counterfeit religion. So the Hindu community had to approach and speak to him, and then now he's retracting what he's saying, what he said. But there's a lot of confusion, but in the world now there's a certain interfaith ecumenical movement to create some cooperation. To make it effective, every person who follows Bhagavad Gita, Vedas, they need to know very nicely, very clearly what the Vedas are saying. That if you do interfaith, you have to be very well grounded in your own faith. Otherwise you go interfaith and you won't be able to present the thing properly to the other faith, and you might even get bewildered yourself. Really, what is the teaching? The other big problem that they say they're facing, as I mentioned, was, what is an idol? I was explaining to Hari that this idol that we, it's a very bad translation, a motivated translation of the word murti or vigraha. And the vigraha or the deity of the Lord is specifically a worshipable form of the Lord. Oh, there's somewhere in the verse here, but maybe. It's a form of the Lord that is worshipped according to the instructions of the Shastra. In Bangladesh recently, I was just there, and in our Dhaka temple, in the liberation movement of the Pakistan forces, had smashed the Radha Krishna marble deity. And since then, the Radha Govinda temple has been having this brass deity, so we had procured some marble deity of Krishna, and they asked me to reinstall that deity for them. So we performed a two-day ceremony of deity installation. Now, according to Vedas, that murti, before installation, that's known as a bimba. Bimba means a reflection. So you take the statue, which is made according to the scriptural description and the proper proportion. Not that you can just take anything and say this is Krishna or this is Rama. Rama has to have the dhinu, Krishna will have the basi. That we certain form is there, that we can't just imitate. Or just, you know, make an imagination and say this is God. It has to be according to the scriptural descriptions. So then we take that raw form, that statue, and then we do certain adivas. These are preparatory ceremonies. This are what's called the silpa dosha adivas. That when the silpa, when the craftsman, he carved that statue, he may have put his foot or maybe some dirt. So you do an abhishek with water and things to purify the image. Then you do a sayan adivas, which contains all other adivas. You can do jala, dhana. But this sayan includes all the other adiva. This is like a purification for that statue, so that it will be ready for inviting the Lord to come in the form of that. So there you do with mantras, you do some more ceremonies, and the deity is laid to rest in a special bed on top of rice, paddies, and other natural things. So this also takes away any kind of contamination or any kind of no contamination from the making process. Then on the actual day of the installation, there are various ceremonies one can do. One is called Sanghar Shristi Nyas. This is interesting. All the, by mantra, all the material elements of that form are destroyed and recreated. Sanghar means to destroy, Shristi means to create. Recreated and transcendental nature. So by different prayers, the Lord, form is further purified. Then after going through this, all these different mantras, or each of the senses of the Lord are touched with kusa grass, and mantras are chanted while the home is going on. Then there's a ceremony called Netra Unmilana. Netra Unmilana means opening the eyes. Up to this point, the eyes have been wrapped by a cloth. Then you open the eyes, and with the mantras, you put honey on one eye and ghee on the other eye, and say, "Now, Lord, you please see." You put on Radha and ask Radha to also see. Then before, you bring the little girls who are decorated, the kumaris, tulasi, you bring auspicious items, so many different items in their conch shell, gold, all so many different types of items. Let the Lord have the first vision, the Bhagavatam, different scriptures. So then, after Netra Unmilanam, then there's another Homa, and then finally the Lord is formally called into the deity. After the very big Abhishek is performed with so many milk and yogurt and some hundreds of items, then the Lord is called Prana Pratishta, where the by mantras are being chanted, and the Lord is requested to come. Actually, the priest does a ceremony for that. How he does that, how through his meditation, he calls the Lord and by mantra to be present as that deity form. So from that time on, then, the Lord is accepting to be present and accept all the worship through the deity. So there's so many histories in India about deities and their different pastimes. So when the devotees are going before the deity, they're not this for them. This is not just an idol or some kind of imaginary. This is the Lord Himself has agreed to come in that particular form. So they're not praying to anyone else. They're only praying to the same Lord. Prabhupada gave a very crude example once. He said, he apologized, a crude example. He said, like, you have the post office box. So that post office box, you can put the mail or you can put in the GPO. It's all representing the same post office, it's extension. So we cannot able to go to the GPO in the spiritual world and put there. So the Lord is coming down to our level so we can easily reach Him. People shouldn't mistake that they were just putting that anything and worshipping. That would be idol worship. We also are against idol worship. Followers of Sanatana Dharma don't accept you can worship anything and say this is God. This is against the Shastra. You have to put something, you have to establish a vigor only according to the Vedas. If something is against the Vedas, then it's not accepted by any bona fide sampradaya. Suti, Smriti, Puranadi, Pancharatik, Vidhi, Dina, Aikantik, Hariya Bhakti, Utpataiva Kalpate. Anything not supported by Vedas, Upanishads, by the Vedanta Sutra, by the Puranas, Mahabharata, Ramayana, and the Pancharatra, and other bona fide Shastra. If someone just does something because they feel like it, that is simply disturbance. That won't be acceptable. Has to be backed up by scripture. People should understand we're also against idol worship. We're not worshipping idols. And what their definition of idols, this word now is being used in India, but that also explained that the original English and the European translator, they translated vigra as idol to try to undermine the people's faith. Thinking that this way they can undermine their faith, because idol is a very bad word in the English. It means false god. But in India nobody knows what idol means, so everyone says, you know, we have our worshipping our idols. What they mean to say, we're worshipping our deities. or vigra. So we have to be careful. If we use in the West idol, people think, oh, these people are really, you know, doing the wrong thing. But rather, people should understand how this deity form is a very great mercy. The deity form are very powerful. And I know that our devotees, when I took them and showed them various ancient deities around India and told the past times, they're from all over the world. I had from Russia, from America, from different countries, from Poland and South America. They really enjoyed and really felt purified to see all the different deities. Just like in, there's a Kirchur Gopinath deity in Rimuna in Orissa. Have you heard about that deity? You've all heard? This is a very ancient deity. This deity was personally made by Ramchandra. When Ramchandra was returning from Lanka to Ayodhya by Puspa Viman with Sita, then they were discussing about in the next Yuga, he's going to come again and be a cowherd boy. And then he said, well, she wanted to see what he'll look like. So he stopped the Puspa Viman and he carved in a stone the image of Gopinath playing the flute so she could see. So then they gave that form to the Brahmanas there and they began worshipping such worship since Treta Yuga. Very ancient deity. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Guru's Guru, who had found the Srinathji deity. You know the Srinathji deity? Nathdwara? Anyone here from Gujarat? You heard of Nathji? That deity was found by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Guru's Guru. That deity was personally worshipped by Krishna's son, grandson. But then when the Mughals came, that was hidden in a forest in Braj. That was found by Madhavendra Puri. And then later that was shifted to Nathdwara. So, when that deity was uncovered, the deity told to Madhavendra Puri, I feel very hot, I've been sitting in the forest for so long, you get me some sandalwood. So he went walking to the South India via the Ganga, and he got on the way to Jagannath Puri, where he could get some sandalwood from that Gajapati kings of Puri at that time. So on the way he was visiting this temple of Gopinath, which is just on the, right now it's on the border of Bengal and Orissa. It's a very beautiful place. There's an ancient Shiva temple. It's so old. You have to go 25 feet on the ground. You go downstairs because it's so old, the ground has become higher. It's very much deep in the ground. There's seven rivers there that were, there's a lot of Puranic reference to that place. There's about 11 holy tirthas in that place, mentioned in the Puranas, of which the Gopinath is very important. So anyway, he went to that temple, and they have a custom that they offer kheer, a condensed milk, to that deity. So every day they're bringing that kheer in 9 different clay pots. So Madhavendra Puri saw them carrying the clay pots of the kheer, and it was hot, the condensed milk, he could smell. Then he thought that, I wonder what this tastes like to offer to my deities in Vrindavan to Nathji. When he thought, then he thought, what have I done? This is a bhoga. When we offer the deity worship, we don't think about what anything tastes before we offer the Lord. Only after he takes, then we take it. So he thought, I had done a great sin. I had done a great aparad. I was thinking, what does the preparation taste like before it was offered? So then he bowed down and he begged apology to the deity. Went and he was outside and he was just chanting. The whole night he couldn't sleep. He was just chanting this great sannyasi, thinking that I committed a great offense. In the middle of the night, that priest, he got a dream where the deity came to him and said that, I have taken one of the clay pots of condensed milk and kept behind my dress. There's a devotee in the marketplace. He's still there chanting. His name is Madhavendra Puri. I kept it for him. You go and bring it and give to him. And the priest woke up. He said, how is this possible? Deity is telling me he stole one of the pots. He took his bath and went opened the deity room. It was about 1 o'clock at night that time. And there he saw behind the dress of the deity there was one of the clay pots kept. And he became very astonished how this could happen. Then he went out and he was calling in the marketplace, Madhavendra Puri, who's Madhavendra Puri? Then the Madhavendra Puri is the only one there. He said, yes, I'm Madhavendra Puri. And he came, he said, my dear friend, you are the most fortunate person in the whole world. There's no one as fortunate as you. For you, Gopinath has stolen this condensed milk. You have never heard of the marble deity that's also that stealing the prasad for his devotee. So you are very fortunate. Actually, Madhavendra Puri, he wasn't thinking, oh, what does that kheer taste like? I want to enjoy it. He didn't really commit any offense, but he was so humble. Even though he's such a great devotee, he was so humble, he thought himself to be at fault. So the Lord reciprocated with his humility and gave him that kheer. You want to know what this tastes like for your deity? You take it. So that's why from that time the deity became known as Kheera Chura Gopinath. The Gopinath who stole the Chira, the Kheera. So, and like this, all over India we find a different pastime, different deities are performing. Thousands and millions of people, in a year millions of people are going to see Balaji, Tirupati, Tirumala. And they can tell you so many different experiences they've had with that deity. Like that, Sri Ranganatham, Guru Vayur, Jagannath Puri, Dwarka, Badrinath, many different holy places and Vrindavan, and many different pastimes are all connected with the deity. So the devotees and the deities have got some active reciprocation. But other people may not understand that. This is a problem. But we shouldn't have any doubt. The children and others, they should be thoroughly trained to understand and appreciate about the deities. And that these deities are not, say, a false idol or anything like that. That's a total misunderstanding. We can give a little bit of idea that we are worshipping the same Supreme Lord. Then that could go a long way for bringing some better understanding amongst the different communities and for unity in the world. Only the theist can change the world, not the atheist. Bring about this change for the better, that can be done by the theist. And the great acharyas, they predicted in the future the Vedas are going to be the basis for the unification. Especially the Gita and the Bhagavat are the cream of the Vedic knowledge. So they give the essence for unifying everyone. So we hope that Hari will be able to express the things very nicely and that everyone will be able to express nicely. They're going to have here, of course, our Krishna vision, I think Friday you had it. And I hope that everyone will enjoy that. You're doing that in Nashville or here?
Yes. They
have different shows for the youth and for the adults. They have all the show of all the different deities around the world. I see there should be some. They don't say which temple. They just show the deities. But those deities are from South Africa, from South America, from Europe, from London, from Germany, from Australia, from America, from all over India. They're showing one of the shows is the picture. How these different, every temple the devotees are worshipping the deity. This is for focusing our mind. It's one of the ways we can chant the holy name of the Lord, or we worship his deity form. Read his teachings in Bhagavad Gita. This is a basic system recommended for this age. Either the Bhagavad Dharma of reading Bhagavad and chanting the holy names, or Pancharatrik Dharma, worshipping the deities, according to the Pancharatra given by Narada Muni. These two systems are recommended for Kali Yuga, very simplified systems. And especially chanting the holy names is the most effective. But we also need deity worship. It's also very helpful to focus the mind, to keep our cleanliness. So this house is blessed because here the deities are here. We're able to come and get the blessing from Radha and Krishna, Gornitai. We hope everyone will have deities in their home and make their home a temple. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna,
Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
Any question?
How can we understand the difference between having pictures on the altar and having deity worship? You mentioned such a wonderful, elaborate description of the actual installation of the deities, but many of us have pictures. So, how can we understand the difference?
When you invite the Lord in the deity form, then you have to perform all the regular worship, just like you have to serve your child, or you have to serve the person being present. You can't stop the worship. Well, a picture is one of the deity forms. Some are a permanent installation, and some are not installed. So at that time, the Lord can be in a form of a painting, in wood, in a stone, in a gem, in metal, in a clay pot. There's different forms that he can take. So one of the forms is a painting. So in the painting, one can do avan and request the Lord to be present there, or in the clay pot. The Lord in a painting is there, that image is not different. But one is not obliged. The painting form is not a form that you do a permanent installation. If you offer any offering to the painting and you say the mantras, the Lord can also accept. That is expressed in the Shastra. But the painting, you might not. If you don't make a particular offering, then it's not an offense. Not the same type of a deity. So for people in their homes who are not able to have the full vigrahas, they can have also the paintings. And by offering the flowers to the painting, or offering the different foodstuffs to the painting, in this way they can also, there's also a form, a deity form of the Lord, which is mentioned in the Shastra. But it's less formal in the rules. Then there's another form they use sometime in India for yagyas, they'll do the kalash. It's what they call Mangal Gata. They'll install the deity by mantra, that pot, they'll put a garland and a coconut and everything. And that pot, the clay pot or the metal pot, filled with water and different auspicious items, the Lord can also be called to be present in the form of that pot. But that is the only installation good for one day. Every day you have to reinstall. Also the clay deity. Sometimes they're doing for Durga Puja or some pujas, they'll do the clay deity. Clay deity cannot be permanently installed. It's not a permanent deity. So they'll have a shaligram, and every day they'll install the deity. So there's temporary installation and there's permanent installation.